Today's Wednesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is an app that allows you to compete in player versus player daily fantasy sports challenges. Use the promo code BBALL at sign up for a free $25. That's BBALL. Go check out No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, guys, let's get into the podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and I'm joined today by Mike Catron, who you can find on Twitter at Watch the Boxes. Mike, welcome to the show.
What's up, Mark? Thanks for having me back.
Oh yeah, no problem, man. Excited to be here to talk to you about some basketball.
Yeah.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't start with some Bulls talk.
As the resident Bulls fan of the podcast.
Yeah.
Things are getting heated around the Bulls these days.
You want to give us like a little recap of the drama that's going down in Chicago?
I've been having a conversation about this all day on Gmail with some friends. Basically, Jimmy Butler kind of straight up called Fred Hoiberg out saying he needed to coach harder. which
has got to be the first time that's ever happened, right?
Yeah, I definitely have never heard someone, hey, coach harder. I've never heard better, that one.
Try harder at your job.
Try harder at the coaching part of your job. but to be honest, Jimmy Butler is the best player on the team. Jimmy Butler is supposed to be a leader on the team. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the right way of going about it, but he's...
And Fred Hoiberg's probably the worst coach in the league.
And Fred Hoiberg needs to coach harder.
At least top five worst coaches in the league.
Yeah, he's really falling off pretty hard. And I wanted to give him at least somewhat of a shot, but I don't know. Well, it's... The story is obviously being manipulated very quickly by the front office. I mean, the way I see the front office is like an old like mafia group of old boys where they control the media in Chicago. They controlled it with Tibbs. They got the message out they wanted to. They control it with basically anyone who talks crap about the front office, including, you know, Jeff Van Gundy. So they run the show there and they manipulate the story, and they're trying to manipulate the story in don't look at the front office decision to pick up Hoiberg. Don't look at the coaching. Why is Jimmy Butler running his mouth? Some players aren't happy with what he did. Look at Rose's performance.
Why would management go after Jimmy Butler?
Because the same reason they go after anybody is that they're unfallible.
You got to pick a side, and you can pick either Jimmy Butler's side, who, by the way, I was wrong on Jimmy Butler. Like, he's better than I thought he was.
I love Jimmy Butler.
He's a very good basketball player. Or you can pick the side of Fred Hoiberg, who is not a very good NBA coach.
Well, the problem is Hoiberg is their
$1 million, and one person makes like what, 10? Yeah. Why would you ever side with Hoiberg?
Well, Hoiberg's their boy. They've had Hoiberg picked out for like 2 years before they even fired Tibbs. They wanted Hoiberg to come over and coach this team. It's a good old boys club. And I'm a little worried about just the way this is going to go about.
Are you telling me I need to start running trade machine scenarios for Jimmy Butler?
Oh,
I'll
no.
Do that. I'll spend Jimmy all day Butler's, tomorrow at work figuring
Jimmy
out
Butler's trade. Going nowhere. That guy is too good to be traded. So the front office for the Bulls are really just manipulative, controlling human beings. But overall, they're pretty good at their job. Look around the league. They're not a bad – I wouldn't call them a bad front office. I wouldn't even call them an average front office. I wouldn't call them the best front office. But they do really good in drafts. But – they have some faults. They don't trade well. They hardly ever trade, really. And they only occasionally get, you know, B-level free agents. So they're recruiting and they're trading, not great, but they're scouting and they're drafting pretty good. And they never sign anyone to a ridiculously stupid contract that didn't deserve it. And everyone can say, oh, Derrick Rose has a really stupid contract. Yeah, he does now. You're not going to sign the MVP of the league to a max contract when he's the MVP of the league, the youngest MVP of the well, did Curry beat that? I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I don't think so. I think Curry was there a lot longer than Rose. Yeah, that's interesting. So,
Jimmy's going nowhere. Really, it's Rose needs to play better. That's it. That's the that whole key
opinion.
That's it. That's my number one expert opinion. Is that, well, Rose is.
Hold on, we got to check and see if his PER is higher than his turnover rate.
He's a really abysmal point guard. He's one of the worst point guards in the league, and the front office and the coaching staff's treating him with kitty gloves. And I think that's what Jimmy Butler is implying by coach harder. Also, we have a glut in the front court that's not being addressed either.
Guess if his PER is higher than his turnover rate yet.
I would doubt it.
Yeah, his PR is still under 10, and his turnover rate is at 14%.
Oh, boy.
That's not ideal for a point guard.
He's looked a little better lately. He was making a lot of mid-range push floaters.
Oh, perfect. Game.
My favorite shot. Zach Lowe had a pretty scathing article about this today, and a lot of what, you know, obviously Zach Lowe, well-respected, and I tend to agree with a lot of what he says. And he's right about the worst thing that he wrote. The thing that hurt the most was there's a line in there that says, Derrick Rose used to dunk all the time. And that just brings like a sadness to my soul, to my heart, because I've been saying it for years. When all throughout Derrick's comeback, I'm like, but he's not dunking.
Right.
He's not dunking. And then he dunked like one Phoenix game a couple years ago. And I was like, all right, this is it. And then he got hurt like a week later. And he just doesn't dunk. He doesn't even try to take contact. And that's not playing basketball. And that's really his game. So if he's going to be a glorified point guard, he should at least bring something to the table. If they're going to run the offense through him, then he should be running the offense well, and he's not. And Zach Lowe goes into a lot of reasons why he hurts the team in offensive rotations. But also, you know, they brought Hoiberg in to be a player's coach, and Tibbs was a workaholic. And you can't complain about both of them. You can either want one or the other. You can't be like, oh, Tibbs coached too hard.
I think you can say Tibbs coached too hard and played us too many minutes, and Fred Hoiberg doesn't know what he's doing. We're not sure this guy is qualified to coach a little league team. Ugh. I think you can complain about those two things.
Well, I don't think he has any clout in the locker room, obviously, because they were running a little bit more high-tempoed offensive sets. And then Zach Lowe talks about how they actually started putting back Tibbs' offensive sets to make the team more comfortable. And I'm like,
that would make me feel a lot more comfortable if it was Tibbs's defensive sets.
Yeah. Well,
if I thought they're putting back in his offensive sets, that makes me uncomfortable.
Their defense hasn't fallen off as much as I thought it would.
All right. Let's move on. This is depressing. They need to make they need to make about three trades.
Something needs to happen, and there needs to be a trade.
And don't think I'm not going to send you four fake trade options for Jimmy Butler.
If they revolve around, well, Jimmy Butler's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. If you're telling me management picked Fred Hoiberg over him, I'm saying that you can't rule out that possibility.
Yeah, they held out on his contract, and then he got the max. It was they squabbled over like $4 million on his contract renegotiations, and then Jimmy Butler played his way into the All-Star game, and now they owed him the max.
Yeah,
so that was a bad decision.
Not a great move.
Nope.
All right.
Enough of the Bulls.
Yeah, enough about the Bulls. They're depressing. And
and I could talk about them for 3 hours, so please stop.
All right, so it's a holiday season, obviously. This is going to be our last podcast of the week, the December 23rd edition of the podcast. We're going to be off for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But before we went, Mike, we wanted to hand out some Christmas presents. We wanted to go through the average draft position for this season, look at where players went in average ESPN drafts, and then either say whether a player has played well enough to get a Christmas present or whether he's played poorly enough that he deserves a lump of coal.
Yeah, there's some good boys out there. There's some naughty boys out there. I don't know if that's appropriate to say.
I want to know where Jimmy Butler falls on the list for you.
Oh, he's a good boy.
All right.
Been very good this year.
I'm going to leave that alone.
I want to sit on his lap.
Yeah, I figured that's where we were going.
Well, he got that awesome the boombox aquarium. That was his present for the year. That's his Christmas present.
Yeah, and the Bulls rewarded him with a coach that doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So we're gonna, like I said, we're gonna go through as many of these as we can. We're gonna decide whether they have been basically whether they've given you value on the pick, where you picked him, or whether you should be disappointed with who you got. Let's start off with Anthony Davis, and this is sort of a controversial one. I think he was, by and large, everyone's number one pick coming into the season. He wasn't quite on the top of my draft board, but he was at the top of the ADP. What do you think about Anthony Davis so far? Does he deserve a Christmas present, or does he deserve a lump of coal?
Well, I had him as my number one pick, bar none, and was okay. I'm still okay with that pick in preseason, and that's why he doesn't deserve anything. He doesn't deserve a lump of coal. I don't think he's been that bad, but it's got to be really, really depressing seeing his production when you could have had Steph Curry.
Yeah, so let's just give him – so what he's done this season, he's played in 24 games, which – I mean, that's kind of the concern with him, is that maybe he doesn't play in as many games as the rest of the top players. But he's played a fair number of games, sat out a little bit. He's played 36 minutes per game, so that hasn't been an issue. He scored 23 points, averaged 11 rebounds.
His rebounds are down a little bit. His field goal percentage is down a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, the steals are great. He's getting 1.3 steals. 2.7 blocks, which is great. He's averaging 0.5 three-pointers, and I think that's sort of playing into the field goal percentage that you mentioned. He's only shooting 49% from the field, down from last year of 54%. He's down a little bit on the free throw line as well, which is a little bit inexplicable. He was 80% last season, 81%. Now he's down to 76%.
Yeah, that will probably come back to the mean, I would assume.
I feel like you don't really regress as a free throw shooter very often. Occasionally you see it, but not with guys who are the, you know, best players in the league. I'm disappointed that the assist didn't come up. I thought in Alvin Gentry's new great Warriors system that last year he averaged 2.2 assists. This year he's averaging 1.5. I expected that to be in like the 3 or 4 range.
Yeah, but I think also have to look at the team as a whole, and that team's been injured from the beginning of the year. They haven't actually had a real point guard until Tyreek came back, and now Drew Holiday's off of minutes restriction.
Even more reason for him to get assists, though, right?
Well, yeah, I guess if they're running the offense through him, but like you said, Alvin Gentry's offense, sometimes I went to the Pelicans game, it didn't see them running the offense directly through Anthony Davis as much as you would think they would.
Seems like a poor decision.
Yeah, and I don't know. It seems like the worst decision. I think that's what everyone was talking about last year, is like, why isn't he shooting like 40 shots a game? He's like the best player in the league. And there's just something about him. I don't know if that's a little bit injury, or he's had a little shoulder bumps. He's had a right knee contusion. So he's missed a few games with little nagging injuries. I don't know if that's holding him back. But he doesn't seem to be as explosive. I mean, he's still 23-11 with 3 blocks, so he's still absolutely insane.
It's hard to find the blocks and the points and the percentages. But I don't think he took the step forward that everybody was hoping for.
He didn't take another leap.
Yeah, it's sort of been a disappointment. I don't think you're thrilled if you picked Anthony Davis number one overall, and that's probably because the guy who went number two in most drafts is named Steph Curry. He deserves a big Christmas present. If he's on your team, you should probably mail him something nice.
Yeah. Everyone who picked him he fell to you, cinema, thank you tweet. Say thanks, Steph Curry, for winning my league.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I think the only person I saw that had him number one overall at the beginning of the season was Josh Lloyd. So shout out to Josh. Nice work. Here's what Steph Curry has done so far this season. He's only played 35 minutes per game. He's averaged 32 points, five three-pointers, five and a half rebounds, six assists, two steals. He shot 52% from the field, 90% from the free throw line.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, those are absurd things to say out loud. Do you think he is eligible for the most improved player of the year? Because he should be.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. He'll never win. Like, I think we all understand that. But if you look at what he did last year, and I think people would be surprised to remember he only averaged 24 points a game last year, which seems high, but when you're comparing it to 32 points per game, he's making over last year. He made 3.6 threes per game. Now he's making five. He's getting another rebound per game. He's shooting way better from the field. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's been said a billion times this year. It's almost ad nauseum at this point. That's just something no one's ever seen before. So, yeah. I mean, just watch him every second you have because you're witnessing, you know, something shocking, something historic. Yeah. And it's almost getting to the point where I think the at least some of the tide, I think with people who are NBA fans, some of the tide's turning against them where you're like, all right, you guys won enough. You guys are kind of complaining a little bit too much to the media about things. Why don't you lose a few games here and there so we don't have to hear about you ad nauseum. But for casual NBA fans, this is the best thing that could possibly happen to them.
All right, let's go on to number three on the average draft position list. And also a kind of a controversial guy. This is a guy who was number one on my list preseason, James Harden. What's your quick assessment? You're going to give him a Christmas present or no?
I'm going to give him a Christmas present. And that might be a little controversial.
I think the perception, like before people looked at things, would just be like, oh, the Rockets have sucked this year. Things have not gone well in Houston. Yeah. I'll bet James Harden has sucked too. That's not really been the case. He's averaging, I think, a league high 38 minutes, scoring 29 points a game, six rebounds, seven assists, almost two steals, almost three three-pointers per game, close to a block per game.
That's absurd.
Yeah, so he's shooting poorly. There's no doubt about it. He's only shooting 41% from the field. He's got the same high free throw percentage that you expect from him. So really, points are great. Threes are great. Rebounds are great. Assists are great. Steals are great. Blocks are great. He's really only the one category is he even struggling in.
Yeah, granted, he shoots at volume, but you're talking about 44% last year, 41% this year. That's going to hurt a lot in that category. But everything else he's doing it at the rate he was doing it last year.
Excellent rate, yeah.
Yeah, and while the city of Houston might not give him a present, I'm giving him a present.
Absolutely. I'm sending him a big present.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, he's playing up to...
He's had a better season than Anthony Davis so far.
Yeah.
Which seems kind of surprising to say, but he's been great. I think he's been one of the two or three best players in fantasy this year.
I don't think you hate yourself for getting him.
No, and I would not be like, I'm not going to be surprised when he ends the season, you know, from here on out shooting 45% from the field. Like, I don't think that's out of the question. So yeah, James Harden deserves a big present. Send him, go send him, order him something on Amazon and have it shipped to his house. Next guy. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, make it a really silly hat. Because I see he seems to like those.
He has some of those, but that's not a bad idea. All right, let's talk about the next guy on the list, Kevin Durant. And he came in at fourth in the average draft position, in part probably because we just didn't know what to expect from him coming back from all those injuries. But he's had a great season so far as well, averaging 27 points, 7.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1.3 blocks, shooting 52% from the field, 3.5 three-pointers, 88% from the free throw line. He's getting to the line not quite at the rate that he did pre-injury, but still giving you great percentages there. most of the way back, right? I don't have any concerns watching
lately him. He looks almost all the way back.
There
was that little
hamstring scare for a little while.
Yeah, a little bit of a scare, but like hamstring, okay. Missed a few games, but he's looking like the Durant of old, and the Durant of old is a top two player. He's currently ranked third on averages and a well-deserved third. I saw him falling out of the top four in some the drafts that I was in, sometimes six, sometimes seven even. And all those people who took a chance on him are getting a big present for Christmas with Kevin Durant. I mean,
yeah,
great.
So sad. Yeah, he deserves a present back. All right, next guy on the list, he was the number five in ESPN average draft position at the start of the season, LeBron James. He's had a very LeBron James type season so far. He's averaging 26 points, 7.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 0.7 blocks, shooting 50% from the line. He's making a three-pointer per game. That's pretty much just clockwork at this point, right?
Yeah. I'm a little, I guess, surprised. I thought there might be a half step fall off by LeBron. I didn't think, I thought he might start falling down into that.
And then you remembered he's like a robot.
And then it turns out he's a physical specimen of absurd style. And he's just doing the same things he always does, getting the exact same numbers he's always getting. I do wonder with Kyrie coming back, if his workload drops a little bit. His minutes have already started to drop from 36 to 32 in the last week. And so I'm wondering if he's going to start getting his usual rest or if Kyrie is going to start taking a little bit of the workload away from him. I don't know if that hurts his assists. I'm not worried about his position. I'm not worried about where he was drafted.
He's LeBron. He's going to get his.
He's LeBron. Yeah.
I think everybody else fits in around him. All right, the guy who went on average right after him was Russell Westbrook. LeBron, you're giving him a present, right? Same present you've been mailing him for the last 12 years.
Yeah, I'm giving him like a really mediocre white elephant present.
Oh,
well, that's just because I'm a LeBron hater.
You don't know what else to get him after 13 years of being awesome, being this good for this long. Russell Westbrook. He's had another guy who's had a great season so far. 25 points, 9.5 assists, 2.5 steals, 6.8 rebounds, 1.4 threes. He's shooting actually 46%. Is that right? He's shooting 46% from the field, which is stunningly high. And 84% from the free throw line.
Yeah, I'd like to look into that. I wonder if he's getting to the rim more. I'd like to look at the advanced stats on that. He's actually ranked overall on averages, he's ranked fourth. LeBron was ranked eighth, actually. This was a smart move. I saw a lot of people moving towards that Russell Westbrook as basically the best point guard behind Steph Curry. Point guards are a premium. There was a bit of a debate, Westbrook versus Lillard. Lillard's going to run the offense, all this stuff. Everybody who went with Westbrook obviously came out really well.
I'm surprised that his assists have actually jumped up. I guess getting Kevin Durant back helps, but so 2 years ago, he was at 6.9 assists. Last year, he was up to 8.6 assists, but I think you could argue, hey, he had the ball in his hands a lot more. He's running the offense. His assists are probably going to regress, and instead, they've gone the other way. He's basically added a full one more assist per game. He's up to 9.5. I think a lot of people who consider Russell Westbrook not a true point guard, and maybe he still isn't, but that's true point guard assist territory. If you're getting almost 10 per game, that's amazing.
That's better than true point guard assists. It's usually, I've done some looking into it. It's usually the top. There's only five or six guys per year who average over 9 assists. And actually, it's been going down steadily over the last
4 years. He averages more assists than Chris Paul, right where John Wall is. He averages 3.5, almost 3.5 more assists per game than Steph Curry.
Yeah, he's actually second. in assists behind Rajon Rondo, who that's all he does, and tied with John Wall at 9.4.
Yeah,
that's impressive. So a little bit of a jump.
A little bit unexpected. I had him projected preseason for eight assists per game. I expected some regression to his previous performance now that Durant was back, but
I'm surprised. I think that team's just a tad bit better, talent wise. I don't know, not coaching wise, but talent wise. But better than having Hoiberg as your coach,
Probably. All right, yeah. So big present to Russell Westbrook. He's been giving out assists. So, all right, next guy. This is a guy that may or may not get a present from you, Mike. I'm interested to see where you go with this one. DeMarcus Boogie Cousins. He has had an interesting season in the fact that, in some ways, his numbers look very similar to normal. He's averaging almost 25 points a game, 10.5 rebounds, just a shade under 3 assists, 1.3 steals, 1.4 blocks. He's actually up to 1.2 three-pointers. So when you think about the guys that give you 1 three-pointer, 1 steal, and 1 block a game, he's hitting those marks. But the rebounds are down a little bit, and he's shooting 42%, under 42% from the center position, which is not ideal.
Yeah.
So put that all together. Right?
He's shooting at a James Harden level.
Yeah.
And shooting more than James Harden, it looks like. He's shooting about 20 shots a game. I love Boogie. Boogie is just one of my I don't know how to describe how I like Boogie. It's more, somewhat of some Schadenfreude-esque type love for Boogie. He's a beast, but he's also one of the worst, I think, players to watch when he's on your team, because you could see how much better he could be. If you watch just his stat line on your team, you're like, oh, Boogie, I love you. This is amazing. And at the beginning of this year, he was making almost like 2 three-pointers a game. I think he was making over two three-pointers a game. And this is from a guy who I think only shot like 20-some three-pointers in the last year or two. So all of a sudden he has this three-point shot. And I assume owners, when they got him, they're like, oh, man. Boogie, the breakout year is here. I'm glad I picked him, sixth. This is it. Like, this is what's happening. Then he got injured, lower back strain. Back problems are not great. And he's kind of fallen off since then. But the problem is with Boogie is that if you actually watch him play, if you go watch the Sacramento game on TV, he's the most pouty, frustrating little turd. He's got to be the worst teammate to play with. He yells at you when you miss when you mess up at all. He's often just letting players run by him. It's hard to describe Boogie.
So, I mean, sort of interesting, right? Like, if you're playing in a league where you're not worried about the percentages, I think you're pretty happy with what he's given you. I think there was some hope that the rebounds, the points, and the assists would all come up from last year due to George Karl being there. And that really hasn't happened. I mean, last year he averaged almost 13 rebounds a game. This year he's down under 11. So it's good. It's just not as good as you hope for. The assists are down, which is surprising to me. I mean, I guess it's Rajon Rondo impact.
Yeah, definitely Rondo's affecting that.
You know, the blocks and steals, while very good, are down from last year. He averaged nearly 2 blocks a game last year. Now he's at 1.4. So
it's a combination of I think a little bit of that back strain and a lot of not wanting to be in Sacramento anymore.
Yeah.
The effort isn't
there. I think he's got a back strain because he's been carrying Sacramento for 6 years.
For his entire career.
I can't blame him. That's the thing. When you're talking about his pounding and his being a turd, like, I kind of feel like I want to give him a pass just because of how crappy of a situation they put him in for so many years.
I would give him a I'd give him a pass if I didn't spend an entire the entirety of last season watching too many Sacramento games and just seeing what a diva POS he was. Like,
but yeah, but I mean, think about the coaches he's had and the players they put.
It's a horribly run franchise.
I kind of want to give him a pass until he gets onto like a more professional team, but.
Well, he's
it's not the most exciting thing to watch. What do you think? Were you giving him a Christmas present?
No, he's getting a lump of coal. This guy should have been a top 10 player. He's currently ranked 37th. His shooting
that's is, probably almost entirely due because of the shooting percentage. I would say
it's all shooting percentage.
If you played in a league that just did field goal percentage, which would be kind of not a very fun league, and you drafted all of the players in the NBA, I think he would go in the last round. Like, that's how bad he's been.
Yeah. He's definitely one of the worst. He'd go right before
Kobe. Right before Kobe Bryant and Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Mudiay and that group.
But imagine if he was just shooting 47%. He'd be scoring like – he'd be leading the league in scoring.
Yeah.
Oh, Boogie.
I hope he gets
There's
it.
There's so much to love and so much to hate with him.
That's the thing. That's really the – you know, that's really true. And we haven't even talked about turnovers. I assume – I don't pay much attention to turnovers, but I assume they're high.
They're high as usual.
Business as usual there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, next guy on our list. Next guy who went in drafts was Chris Paul. I think, again, you know, he was the guy that you were expecting to lead the league in assists when we started the season after averaging 10.7 2 years ago and then 10.2 last year. He's only averaging 9 assists so far this season to go along with 17.5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, or 2 steals and 1.4 three-pointer. He's shooting 45% from the field, which is a little bit off of his career marks. Last year, he was right around 49%, and he's shooting 90% from the free throw line, so he's still solid there. What do you think about Chris Paul so far?
I'm not giving him a present this year.
Yeah, I don't think he deserves one either.
Because he's better than this. And he's been playing better lately. And he has had this weird rib cartilage thing that kind of affected him. But he's supposed to be an elite player. He's finished in the top 5 on average games for the last at least 5 years. The top 5 overall in averages. Mm-hmm. He's a better scorer than this. He's a better playmaker than this. You're probably happy.
He's better at steals. I mean, he's always been right around 2.5 per game, which leads the league. Yeah. Now he's down to 2, which doesn't sound like a lot, but
I guess I'm not worried about where he's going. He's got nowhere to go but up at this point, and all of a sudden he's shooting more threes in the last couple of weeks.
I kind of wonder if he's at the point of his career where he doesn't care about the regular season as much anymore.
He shouldn't. He is 30.
I've always kind of felt that way. Like he gears up for the playoffs in a different way, but I wonder if that means it's starting to mean now he's gearing down for the regular season. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is Chris Paul from here on out. He's a 16.5 and 8.5 or something. You know, he's going to get you 17 points and 8.5 assists, which is great, but not sort of the elite production that he used to give you. And maybe he's going to approach 2 steals a game, but maybe it's going to be 1.7, which is, again, good, but not elite like it used to be. And his shooting percentage is not going to be quite as high. And he's going to use the regular season to play himself into shape. And, you know, that's sort of a thing.
Too much time on that banana boat.
Yeah, no kidding. He already got a banana boat. He gets no presents.
That's what, yeah. I'm giving him one banana boat. No coal. Just one free banana boat ride.
Oh, no.
With
Dwight White's wife going to be on there?
With two of any of his friends are welcome to come with him. His wife's not allowed. Or Wade's wife's not allowed. His wife's not allowed either. Just a bunch of dudes on a banana boat.
All right. Next guy on our list, Dame Lillard, who actually broke his Iron Man streak and sat out for the first time in his career. Sort of disappointed to see that streak end. I know he cared about that. But from a fantasy perspective, so he's averaged this season 20 I think we all expected a jump in points. Last season, he averaged 21 points. This season, he's averaging nearly 25 points a game, 24.6. He's averaging, still averaging 4.5 rebounds, almost 7 assists. The steals still are not great. He's averaging about 1 per game and 2.8 three-pointers per game. The field goal percentage is relatively close to career averages. He's at 42%. Last year, he was at 43%. And this year, he's shooting 88% from the free throw line. What are you doing with Dame Lillard?
I'm going to give him a present, the same present as last year. If you look at
some night, like a nice pair of socks.
Yeah, maybe a tie. If you look at what you expect to see, I think some people expected for him to be like, now he's the focal point of the offense. Now he's going to score. He's going to lead the league in scoring. He's going to do all these different things. And all it really led to was a little bit more usage and a little bit more turnovers.
And I think you got to give him a little credit. The jump from 21 to 24.5 is pretty significant.
Yeah. I'll give him a little credit for that, but apparently
he hasn't had to sacrifice any of his assists. In fact, he's up a half assist per game.
Yeah, and to be able to up your assists with losing one of probably your primary assist getter with LaMarcus on the pick and roll.
And not to mention Nick Batum and
Wesley Matthews
and Robin Lopez. Like, yeah, he's still distributing the ball. It might not be the beacon of efficiency, but I think he's having a pretty solid season. I agree.
You weren't drafting him for the efficiency.
No.
And the Blazers did a pretty good job of putting some around him. But like you said, he sat out on Wednesday, and I did not know this. He sat out due to plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
Are you worried about that?
We talked about that a little bit, Daniel and I did yesterday. So he says it's no big deal. He said he's not worried about it. But sure. The fact that he was ruled out before the game, the fact that it wasn't like a game time decision and he's going to try to play through it because he's got this streak going. It was just like, nope, he's not playing. That's what makes me nervous more than the particular injury. And the fact that the Blazers aren't, they have different stakes this season than they had last season and the year before. You know, they're not playing for the home court advantage in the playoffs anymore. In fact, the Blazers basically have every incentive they can to sit him out. So
that's true.
It makes me a little bit, I am a little bit nervous. At the same time, I think Lillard, like,
and they have a replacement.
His threshold for playing, for getting into games and playing when other players wouldn't, is as high as anybody in the leagues outside of like maybe Wes Matthews. So I don't sort of know how to balance those things yet. I think we'll see in the next couple of games what they do with him, but like I won't be surprised if he's out like 3 weeks, and I also won't be surprised if he's just back out there next game.
Well, it's an injury that lingers, and it could linger the rest of the season, especially with the amount of minutes he plays when the only cure is rest. So
I wouldn't be shocked if they shut him down for the last 25 games of the season or something.
Yeah, I'd rather see him shut him down now on this break, see how it goes, bring him back, maybe drop his minutes a little. He's tracking either even or down. He's not going to suddenly get better for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so as far as year-to-date, I think he's justified his draft position. Like, I think you're sending him a present, but I think you're being pretty nervous about him the rest of the season, just because he's got an injury that only heals with rest, and the Blazers have the potential to get a very high draft pick.
Yeah, 9's a little high, I think, but it's nothing. It's not like,
well, what's he been so far this season? So if he went 9th, the value he's produced is 8th. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Are you taking turnovers out of that? Probably.
Yeah. Because the ESPN's average draft position is not taken into account turnovers.
Ah, you're right.
Or at least in their standard game. All right, next guy on our list, Klay Thompson, number 10. Let's see. We'll do two more here after Klay Thompson. We'll do the first round, sure, basically. Klay Thompson, thus far in the season, he hasn't had the same amazing season that Steph Curry has had. He's his points are down a little bit. He's down to 19.3. Still averaging 3 3-pointers per game, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Only 0.6 steals. He is giving you 0.9 blocks, shooting 47% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. So it's really the points and the steals that are disappointing to you thus far in the season, right?
Yeah, but if you remember, Klay Thompson had a really poor start to the season. Mm-hmm. And for him to have come back and produce enough to drag him out of, I mean, it was a really bad start to the season. He was, I don't even know if he was in the top 50. He's played so well lately that he's justified his draft ranking just recently.
And that's a great sign. The last 12 games or so, he's averaged 22.5 points, 4 3-pointers, and then basically the same stats except for the steals. The same, like, three rebounds, 2.5 assists. Still ain't getting you half a steal. That's been good for a top 24, basically a second-round pick since he's come back. But I'm not sure he's justifying that first-round pick. Like, I think even as well as he's played in the last month, I'm sending him a lump of coal or a lump of something. Ooh. if I picked him in the first round.
Yeah, there's definitely better players. And those better players are the next three guys. Actually, the next five guys are better players than him.
So the guy that went right after, what are you doing with Klay Thompson?
I'm not going to get him anything. I just think the way he's played over the last month has...
Maybe send him like a holiday newsletter. Yeah. Tells him all about what you did each month.
I'm going to donate some money in his name.
to the human fund?
Yeah, to the beautiful human fund.
Perfect.
I think you're not happy with taking him there, but also you're a half round early, so it's not like you completely swung and missed.
No, he's getting a lump of coal from me. Oof. If I drafted him in the first round. In part because the next guy on the list, John Wall, who went 11th in fantasy drafts before the season, he's had a very good season and particularly been great as of late. The last 2 weeks, listen to this line. Last 7 games, he's averaged 20.5 points, 1.7 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 13 assists, 2 steals, 0.5 a block, and shooting 43% from the field. And 85% for the free throw line. You'd take that on your fantasy team, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I actually need all those things on all my fantasy teams right now. Pretty
really, yeah, he's really kicking some butt.
And lately, that's after, you know, what about a 2 week span where he was kind of mailing it in, and someone got under his skin, and got him motivated to play, and he's just been on an absolute tear.
Well, so
you got to be happy.
Perspective on why you say that, because the story I heard was that he twisted an ankle like either like the last game of preseason or basically right before the season started, and he was pretty severe, and he was just trying to play through that the first month. And once he got through that, basically since December has started, he's gone and just been awesome.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that it was that bad of an injury in the preseason, and he didn't.
And again, I don't know exactly when it happened. I just heard basically at the start of the season he was dealing with an ankle.
Yeah, and that could easily be true. And I think the start of the season he played actually pretty decently, and then it kind of fell off. And then he had that he sat out with a knee injury for a little bit, and then after that has just been out of control. And this is the kind of John Wall you want to see. He's young enough. Are you worried about him playing almost 38 minutes, 40 minutes a game at this point?
Yes.
Long term?
Yeah. You know, but people forget that he dealt with knee injuries pretty frequently early in his career.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's still a young guy, of course, but I think there was some worry right when he got drafted. Like, didn't he sit out some big chunks of the first couple of seasons?
Yeah, the last two seasons he actually played almost the full season, but the 12-13 season he only played 49 games, The season before that, he only played 66 games.
Was that the lockout season?
I can't remember. Was that the lockout season? Yes.
He might have played all the games.
If I do the math, the Warriors, the Spurs, no. I don't think that was the lockout season, 12-13.
No, excuse me, 11-12.
11-12 was. Okay, I guess he played the whole 11-12 season.
Yeah, so he's missed some time. Yes, I'm worried. I think Randy Whitman, I'm more ticked off about what he's done to Bradley Beal, but I'm not thrilled with what he's doing to John Wall.
Yeah, go ask Tom Thibodeau if this works out well.
I feel like I'm gonna file a custody suit for John Wall's minutes. I feel like they should be taken away from Randy Whitman. He's mistreated him and abused him for too long.
They should fire Whitman, hire Thibodeau, and see what happens.
You think Bradley Beal's ready for a couple of 48-minute games?
Has he ever played more than 30 minutes? I mean,
Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should go look at his game log right before he got injured with another stress reaction.
Has he ever played well in those minutes, I guess? Well,
I guess Randy Whitman's happy with
him. He's fallen off the...
pretty
hard lately, hasn't he?
Yeah. So here are Bradley Beal's minutes right before I know we're getting off tangent, but
yeah,
this is important. These are his minutes in the seven games before he got hurt with a stress reaction in his foot. 41, 42, 38, 38, 41, 40, and 39.
Huh, I wonder why he got hurt.
Yeah, it's weird that the player that has had a stress reaction in his foot, or is it in his leg or his, I can't remember.
His leg.
Right fibia.
Yep.
Stress reaction. Yeah, he's had that basically four straight years. It's weird that when you don't manage his minutes, he has another one.
And I think when you manage his minutes, he's just okay. He's a scorer. And some of those games where he's playing big minutes, he's having really good games there occasionally. He's shooting hit or miss on the shooting, but he was having really good games, and he just can't stay on the floor, and obviously Whitman's part of that. And Wall, I don't know. I'm not worried about Wall because I think Wall's more of a gamer and a little bit tougher than Bradley Beal, but I'm not happy at seeing Wall approach 40 minutes.
I would love to see him just give him a solid 36 minutes and manage that so that we make sure that we get him the whole season. I'd hate for him to go down. All right, last guy on our list. Number 12, the last first-round pick preseason. Let's see if you're happy with him or not. His name's Kawhi Leonard. He's averaging 21 points, 2 3-pointers, 7.5 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, shooting 51% from the field and 88% from the free throw line. What does he deserve for Christmas this year?
He deserves a giant aquarium boombox, way more than Jimmy Butler did.
I know we don't talk about turnovers, but he's excellent in turnovers category. Like, I wonder what he's ranked for with turnovers.
I think with turnovers, he's top three even.
Oh, my goodness.
I think if I pop it in, let's see.
He's
actually ranked number two on averages on Nine Cat.
Behind Curry, I would guess.
Yeah.
Which doesn't even count, so he's basically number one.
Yes.
He's been awesome this season, like basically giving you production in every single category. Another guy that's giving you – I mean, he's close to – like he's giving you 2 3-pointers and 2 steals and 1 block. Like
that's absurd.
Yeah, that's even better than the 1-1-1. He's giving you 2-2-1.
This was the stuff everybody was kind of talking about when you saw those flashes.
Nobody thought he was going to get to 21 points per game, though. That's been amazing. And if you did, you didn't expect him to increase his field goal percentage to do it. Like, that's
not
that's
at all preposterous. This is a leap. This is like a Jimmy Butler-esque leap from a guy who was already almost doing Jimmy Butler-like things.
Not to mention, this guy won Defensive Player of the Year last year and probably will win it again this year.
And he has a Finals MVP under his belt.
Oh, my goodness.
this is the guy I think everyone hoped he would become, and that's just who he is now. And there's not a better system. There's not a better franchise. There's not a better coach for him to.
I watched this guy play live in college. I went to a game where he played against
really
Jimmer Fredette, actually.
Ooh.
And I was like, who on the other team is like a big deal? It's this Kawhi Leonard, and he kind of just stood in the corner and he couldn't shoot. And like, you know, I read about like he had these humongous hands and was like a good defender, but I could have never in my wildest dreams imagined that he turned into this. And that's why I think the whole discussion about like, what if the Pacers would have kept him and paired him with Paul George, while terrifying at this point, I don't think that Kawhi Leonard, like if you pretend it's a choose your own adventure book and we choose the adventure where he goes to the Pacers instead of the Spurs, I don't think he turns into this Kawhi Leonard.
No, not at all. Especially with Paul George needing the ball in his hands a lot to produce, who's also had a great season. But I don't think Indiana doesn't bring Leonard along like they bring Paul George along. Or like Indiana would bring Leonard along, basically.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing is I feel like if you went to pick a, like you'd be like, okay, we can't pick the Spurs. Who's the second best franchise to pick to bring a player along? I don't know who it would be for sure, but I think Indiana's in that discussion, right? Like they've developed a lot of players over the years.
Yeah, they've done a pretty good job.
It's crazy that the discrepancy from Indiana to San Antonio is that big. Because by no means am I saying like Indiana doesn't develop their players. I think Paul George is case example number one, but I think they've got a lot of, I mean, Roy Hibbert for a while was an all-star and they drafted him way late in the draft. They brought along a lot of guys. It's just the fact that the Spurs are on just, they're just playing a different game than everybody else as far as player development goes.
Yeah, Indiana has a solid track record and they have a solid coach. They have a solid system. I think people obviously respect Bird as well. So I think that's a huge motivation factor, I think. There's no way Leonard becomes this, one of the best players in the league.
No, I agree.
Outside of being on the Spurs.
Let's run through the next 12 players in rapid fire, and I'll just read their name.
Oh, yeah.
In the order they were drafted, and you can tell me whether they get a present or whether they get a lump of coal or whether you're sending them nothing. Paul George.
Big present.
Yeah, agreed.
Welcome back.
Thank goodness he's back, right? The NBA is a better place with him.
Yeah, you don't want to see anyone hurt.
No. Like, or see anyone turn into, not to rub salt in the wound, but you don't want to see anyone turn into Derrick Rose either. Anyway. It's
the most depressing thing.
Yeah. No, I mean.
I wish it upon nobody.
I would love if old Derrick Rose was back.
Yeah, and right? That's what
that makes my NBA, that makes my, you know, my nights better when I can watch good basketball players.
And that's what I really don't understand about the haters of Derrick Rose is that why are you wishing injuries upon him? Yeah. Like he was one of the most entertaining guys. He was doing the things when he won his MVP, he was doing the same things Steph Curry did last year when he won his MVP, though in a different matter. He was flashy. He was making opponents, crowds ooh and awe at his drives to the rim. He was one of the most athletic people in the league. I don't know why you don't want to watch that, even if he's not on your team.
All right, next guy, Blake Griffin.
I'm giving him a present. He's played well this year.
I'm sending him a lump of coal, but I'm not. I'm putting on his door. I'm putting on his doorstep and ringing the doorbell and running away.
Like,
I don't want him to know it's from me. But
I disagree with you. I think he's played well for where he was drafted this year.
I'm not thrilled. We can get into that another day.
And I do usually factor in turnovers.
Mm.
But I've liked what Blake Griffin has done.
He's been fine. That's why I said I'm not labeling my lump of coal, but
right.
I'm probably leaving it on his doorbell and running away. Jimmy Butler. I think you're sending him a present.
He's already got that present. He bought it for himself.
Yeah. I might have to send an apology present to Jimmy Butler. Carmelo.
Lump of coal.
Okay. I think I'm probably just not sending him anything.
He could be better.
We haven't been talking for a while. He's been fine. He's about where you drafted him.
He's been over to my house a lot, and he's been not bringing anything to the mixer. He's just been drinking other people's booze. I'm tired of it.
Speaking of needing maybe to drink a little booze, Serge Ibaka.
Big lump of coal for him, too. Yeah. Both of those guys, of course, are on my team, and they're both underachieving.
I might send him a lump of something else, but in any case, he's not getting a present from me this Christmas. Rudy Gobert, I think I'm just sending him. He went, let's see, not right after, 17th, 18th overall. I'm sending him like a get well soon balloon.
Yeah, I'm sending him a nice card.
You can't send him a lump of coal at this point.
He only played 14 games.
He didn't give you everything you wanted in those 14 games, but anyway, he's been fine.
That's a very small sample size, so.
Yeah. All right. LaMarcus Aldridge.
How
people picked him in the second round?
Apparently, enough people picked him. How big of a truck could you get full of coal for LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, give him all of the coal. I'm taking Blake Griffin's coal back, and I'm sending it to LaMarcus Aldridge.
If you were reading enough people or listening to enough podcasts or not just looking at ESPN or Yahoo's rankings, you should have saw this coming.
Yeah, I think
obviously this was enough people don't do that. I assume most people today, it's not obviously not like fantasy football. There's not a ton of in-your-face analysis on these major sites. So most people probably show up to the rankings and look at it right before the draft, and they go, oh, yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge. He was like 14th last year. Okay, cool. I'll pick him.
Yeah, he's been terrible. All right, Marc Gasol.
I'll give him a lump of coal. Where you been, yeah. Mark? You're better than this. You're much better than this.
No, he hasn't been great this season. I still think there's a turnaround coming with the Zach Randolph move to the bench. He's been better, but.
Yeah, I don't think Gasol is on the outs or anything like that.
No.
I'm really disappointed in him that he's been as high as he's been ranked in the past and as good as he possibly could be. He's had a pretty bad, like a full month of being very bad. Mm-hmm. And interspersed with being pretty good. So
do Paul better. Millsap went next.
Big old present for Paul Millsap.
He's been awesome. Guy.
He's always great.
Probably if, you know, in an 8-category league, he's probably on the borderline of a first-round pick. We've talked about that before. Nikola Vucevic went next.
I'm not going to get him anything.
Yeah, I'm probably giving him a lump of coal.
He's a bit disappointing. His rebounds are a little.
And Orlando's that's kind of a dicey situation anyway.
Orlando's a mess.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward went next.
Give him a lump of coal. That he's playing better now, but
he's struggled for sure.
Pick it up.
And last but not least, number 24 in ESPN's average draft position, Draymond Green, averaging an impressive 7.1 assists to go along with 8.7 rebounds, 14 points, 1.4 3-pointers, 1.2 steals, and 1.4 blocks.
Man, what a beautiful line. I mean, if that's not your 9 category, him and Kawhi, put them on a team and then walk away in all your roto leagues, like just absolutely beautiful stats.
I agree. I love Draymond Green. So with that, that concludes our holiday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Mike, is there anything you want to plug before we sign up for the holidays?
Sure. You can read all my stuff on watchtheboxes.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at watchtheboxes. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm usually I'll be watching a lot of basketball over the Christmas break, as my favorite thing to do on Christmas Day is to wake up late and put the TV on and watch basketball from noon to midnight. Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely looking. I try to get the kids to unwrap their gifts as soon as possible so that we can get the basketball on the TV.
It's important. It's important to get to basketball.
enjoy some games. If you're going to watch one game, make sure you watch the Warriors-Cavs, I would say. And that should be fun.
Yeah, force your whole family to watch that. Even if they don't want to watch basketball, even if you're having
It's a great dinner, introduction.
Yeah. What will be better?
Yeah. Enjoy your Christmas holidays, everyone. Enjoy some basketball. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll talk to you next week. So we'll have some podcasts before the year is up, but this is it before Christmas. Thanks. Thanks a lot for listening. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast, subscribe, all that good stuff. And like we said, go enjoy some basketball. Thanks, everyone. Bye.